This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, scrambled information escapes from Stephen Hawking, sunspot record is recalibrated, and names on Pluto generate controversy. A stir was created this month by a short talk from Stephen Hawking at the KTH Royal Institute of Technology in Stockholm. In the talk, Hawking claimed to have new insight which may solve a 40-year-old problem known as the black hole information paradox. The paradox is a consequence of one of modern physics' most knotty and notorious dilemmas: how to reconcile the two excellent but apparently incompatible theories of quantum mechanics and general relativity. Black holes are a stiff test for theoretical physicists, as they are one of the few systems we can imagine in which both general relativity, or GR, and the quantum world become comparatively important, due to black holes' combination of both extremely high mass and tiny size. Hawking himself was one of the first to elucidate the problem when, in a 1975 work, he pointed out that a black hole, as described by GR, sitting in a space surrounded by quantum fields, would slowly radiate particles and shrink, eventually evaporating completely. The reason that this situation creates a problem is that it is difficult to decide what happens to the information which describes the system. In quantum mechanics, the total amount of information in any system must remain the same, with information neither being created nor destroyed. So, what happens to the information inside the black hole when it evaporates? According to quantum theories, it cannot simply disappear, nor can it be carried away by the emitted particles, as this would involve copying the information, creating more than there was before, another forbidden process. Something must give. Either black holes do not destroy information, meaning modifications to GR are necessary, or information is not conserved, and it is quantum mechanics which needs its foundations shaking. Hawking was, for a long time, a supporter of GR in this contest, and made a bet with two other prominent physicists, Kip Thorne, who supported Hawking, and John Preskill, that it was GR which was right. In 1997, Hawking actually conceded defeat in the bet, and provided Preskill with the prize of a baseball encyclopedia, from which information may be retrieved at will. Hawking conceded due to new work on so-called holographic theories, which propose that physical systems which exist in spaces with n dimensions can be equally as well described by sets of equations which exist in only n-1 dimensions. In the case of black holes, this means the three-dimensional interior space of the black hole being described by a two-dimensional system on its surface. The holographic idea sounds fanciful, but it was shown by Juan Maldacena, then of Harvard, now of Princeton University, that such theories are correct in at least a limited set of circumstances, and I, for one, am prepared to trust Juan Maldacena. Later work has unfortunately further muddied the waters, for example, with the firewall problem, which states that halfway through a black hole's evaporation, the holographic surface can no longer contain enough information to describe the interior. Some theorists believe this could cause a wall of fire to form around the black hole, frying anything else which tries to fall in, and avoiding consuming its information. The air of mystery surrounding the problem, and Hawking's celebrity, has meant that much interest has been generated by the talk in Stockholm, even if it was very light on actual details on his new work and the problem. Hawking apparently suggested that chaotic mixing of information inside a black hole both scrambles the information falling in and disturbs the black hole's surface, allowing some information to break free. This would mean that black holes were not truly black, but merely grey, with some kind of escape possible. Any escapee would still be significantly mangled, however, and unlikely to find much interesting left on the outside, with evaporation of a sun-sized black hole taking some 10 to the power of 67 years, far longer than the 10 to the power of 10 years our universe has so far been in existence. Response from astronomers and physicists to the news has been cautious, with most wishing to wait for technical details rather than commenting on second-hand relaying of a brief presentation. Professor Matt Strassler of Harvard University commented on his blog that he does not expect the puzzle to be resolved soon, and points out the dangers of weighting scientists' words by their level of celebrity, saying that the resolution will probably come from a young physicist you've never heard of, or from a person not yet even born. Also this month, astronomers working at the Royal Observatory of Belgium in Brussels have recalibrated historical sunspot data, casting doubt on the idea that increasing solar activity may have contributed to Earth's warming climate in the past 200 years. Sunspots, dark-looking patches on the sun's surface at points of concentrated magnetic fields, have long been known to have an 11-year cycle in the numbers observed. Astronomers have also tracked their numbers over longer periods in what is the longest-running observation in science, having been started by Galileo in 1610. There were previously two premier records of sunspot activity, the world or international record and the group record. Differences in the methods and personnel used for counting spots over the centuries mean that it can sometimes be difficult to determine the true numbers, and the two records previously disagreed in some key aspects, such as the presence of a long-term upward trend in numbers apparently coinciding with climate change here on Earth and tentatively called the Grand Modern Maximum. The new work by the Belgian astronomers has recalibrated the datasets, for example, taking into account the failing eyesight of one aging 19th century Swiss observer, with their new V2.0 record showing no evidence for the Grand Maximum. Frédéric Klett, one of the authors of the work, stated there has been nothing exceptional about the level of solar activity over the time period. This work has proved controversial, meeting disapproval from the previous maintainers of the international sunspot record. It does, however, bring the data into line with a third separate record, that of the US National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The change will also be highly significant, requiring climate models used to predict future trends in weather to take into account a much decreased contribution from sunspot activity. And finally, disapproving looks have been exchanged this month between the team leading NASA's New Horizons mission to Pluto and the section of the International Astronomical Union, or IAU, which deals with the naming of features on astronomical objects. Many features identified on Pluto and its companion moon Charon by New Horizons have been named by public vote on the OurPluto.org website, run by the New Horizons team. However, formal recognition of some of these names is expected to meet resistance from the IAU, with Representative Rosalie Lope commenting, "Frankly, we would have preferred that the New Horizons team had approached us before putting all these informal names everywhere." The principal investigator of New Horizons, Alan Stern of NASA, has previous with the IAU, having criticized the handling of Pluto's declassification as a planet, and also with informal naming of extrasolar planets and regions of Mars. It remains to be seen whether the IAU will allow the names of Cthulhu, Spock, Kirk and Vader to sit alongside more sober ones on Pluto and Charon.